Because I mean, the women before us fought very, very hard for this greater autonomy over our female bodies. And this is something that we should be really proud of. And it's an option that we have. And I believe in options. I believe in choices. And most importantly, I believe in an informed consumer. And that's where I think most of the harm is done.
You'll hear from women, leaders, and mothers. We're holding hands as we move through life's greatest transitions. Join us for The Rising.
Hey, everybody. It's Erica, the creator and host of The Rising podcast. Can you be honest with me and yourself for just a second? Are you super familiar with your body, with your menstrual cycle, with how your period works and what the heck is going on every month? I was not, and I make it very well known in this episode that I had no idea what was going on with my cycle until I had babies and I was truly forced to understand it. Ginny does an amazing job at breaking down all four parts of your cycle and telling us how we can use this biohack to really create a better, more productive life for ourselves based around our cycle. She talks about how period pain and PMS are common, but they're absolutely not normal. And she's going to help us break down how to get to the root of that so that you have healthier and easier periods. We'll talk about how this can affect trying to conceive and also trying not to. I know you're going to learn so much from this episode as I did. Happy Monday.
I think the thing that really attracted me, I guess, to what you're doing is when you said that PMS symptoms or like period pain is, you say common but not normal.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the phrase? Okay, so tell me about that, because as far as I know, it's just seemed to kind of like come with womanhood. Like you get your period, you're going to have cramping.
Yeah. So I hear that a lot. And it's unfortunate because it feels like society has really, you know, molded us to believe that painful periods or PMS, you know, even things just like bloating or fatigue, that those are just a normal part of being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
When really, you know, like we said, they're common, but they're not normal. They're really an indicator of, you know, an underlying hormonal issue or inflammation in the body. And yeah, so if you have period pain and PMS, I do like to say, like, it's nice to start by just like thanking your body for giving you that message, because mm-hmm. often we can just be so down on ourselves and like, I'm not right and I'm broken and all of that, when really it's just a message. Your body's saying, hey, something's off.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I like to start, of just acknowledging and accepting, okay, there's something going on, and like, let me dig a little bit deeper. Even though, you know, I think it's like 80% of women or something have had PMS or period pain at some point mm-hmm. in their lives. So common, definitely not normal. So yeah, it's usually, especially for PMS, most often excess estrogen and not enough progesterone.
Mm-hmm.
And then for period cramping, you know, inflammation is a really big part of that, which is, you know, can be caused by endocrine disrupting chemicals or the food that we eat, or, you know, just everywhere.
Yeah. I thought it was so interesting. So I've never had any pain with my period. I mean, I've had bloating, I've had fatigue for sure, but no actual pain. But then when you are going to give birth, you hear that contractions are just like a more intense menstrual cramp. So first of all, I'm like, I have no reference, but I thought, okay, so some tightening of the abdomen, maybe like when you get a stitch in your side from jogging, something like that. And then I had back labor. I was like, I don't even know. And then my sister is pregnant and she has had terrible, like, debilitating 2 days, you know, every cycle. And she heard the same thing, like, well, that's what contractions are going to be. And she's like, okay, well, I feel like I can handle it because I've done it before. And so, yeah, when I heard about the work that you did, I was like, okay, first of all, I've got to tell her that they don't feel the same. And secondly, that having, you know, 2 days when you have to be in bed each month is kind of a lot of your life.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, having like a sensation or awareness of, you know, I'm on my period, mm-hmm. like that is different than I can't go to work. Yeah. You know, I need to curl up in bed. I need to take, you know, Advil, Tylenol, whatever, something like that. Like that's really different, you know? And yeah, there's just so much that can be done from a holistic standpoint. And that's really what I focus on with my mm-hmm. clients and in the program. And yeah, I'm just like, it's not necessary. Like it's not necessary to have that pain and be a woman, which is what we've been taught. So
yeah. What do you find with the women that you work with, or maybe just general female population? Do you feel that women are kind of well aware of their cycle, or have no clue, or kind of fall in the in between?
Yeah, so I think that I have a little bit of like blinders on, right? Because I'm so immersed in the work that I'm like, yeah, everyone knows that we have like four phases of our cycle, right? And like what's happening during, you know. And then I actually had a friend and she was like, you know, we've been trying to get pregnant and just having sex like random times. And then I learned, I mean, we're in our late 20s, almost 30 years old. She's like, and I learned that, no, there's only certain times you can get pregnant. From your Instagram, you know, or whatever. And I was like, wow, I've done, you know, like I'm trying to help, but there is still so much to learn. And she was like, yeah, that's what you're taught in high school. You know, like no one is teaching you about what is actually happening, right. Men or women. Like, I don't just think it needs to be mm-hmm. women that carry all that. Like, it's nice for partners as well to know, okay, what to kind of expect.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you want to get pregnant or not, it can be such a power source to know about, you know, how our cycle works and the different phases.
Yeah. Well, and I know that a lot of women are now tracking their cycle as birth control, right? So if they don't want any hormonal birth control and, you know, condoms are not 100% effective, so you have that extra layer of protection by knowing I'm not ovulating right now either. And like you said, a high school kid, like, are high schoolers having sex? Yeah. So some of them, many of them are. And having that knowledge of their body is so important when trying not to get pregnant as well.
Yeah, definitely. I even think back to college. I mean, I'll just totally tell on myself. My friend and I were laughing. We're like, remember, like, one of us was even on birth control and, you know, we're having sex with people and then we're still freaking out like, oh my gosh, what if I'm pregnant? Like, just that total lack of
about
our bodies.
Yeah, it kind of felt like a crapshoot. You're just like, well, I really want to do it, so I guess I'll just cross my fingers and hope that everything's okay.
It's really hard. That's
really unsafe. Really not cool.
Yeah, not cool. You're right. And so the majority of my work is with adult women who were having this same, you know, like I said, that was in college. Like, that's when I started learning more and like discovering more about our cycles. But yeah, that's when I started learning it. It's when a lot of other people are too.
Yeah.
And that's great. I'm glad it's happening now for people. But can you imagine if you're in middle school and high school and you're learning about the different phases of your menstrual cycle and know that, like, it's okay, I don't really feel very social the week before my period, or like, I don't need to push it really hard at soccer practice, you know, or whatever it is, that we really tune in that way. Absolutely. To our bodies.
Well, and I think it took me probably embarrassing, but like 10 years of having my period to even pay any attention to when it might be coming next. Like, you know, 10 years later, I was like, maybe I'll just make a little note in my planner. Maybe I'll just keep track of this one, because I would like not even pay attention to what my body was feeling like or telling me. And one day I would just start bleeding. And well, hopefully I had something to take care of that, you know, might have been happening in the middle of class, might have been happening on a road trip. Like, who knows? I had no awareness. So.
Yeah. And it starts there. Sometimes people that think that tracking your cycle has to be this really complicated thing, but it really is, can be that basic of just like a little dot of like, okay, this is when my cycle arrives, especially, which is the goal, if you don't have PMS symptoms.
Yeah.
And you don't feel anything, it really can sneak up on you.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, oh my God, here it is. Like, it just arrived. Whereas some people, their knowing when their period arrives has to do with, okay, I'm having a little bit of cramping, I'm feeling this, and that's their indicator.
Yeah. So, okay, for someone who's listening, no judgment, right? Because we both admittedly, like,
yes.
And probably the only reason I know more about my cycle is because I've had babies. I think if I were not having babies yet, I honestly wouldn't pay any attention either. But for someone who is saying like, okay, what now? There's four parts of this. Can you give us like just the basic breakdown of each?
Yeah. So, and I think that that is important. Obviously, no judgment here. And that's part of why I got into this work. I was a doula and a childbirth educator. So I was working with women who were pregnant, mm-hmm. postpartum, were trying to conceive. And that is often when we learn about our cycles. Because before then, it's just like this pain in our ass or, mm-hmm. you know, just something we have to deal with until we realize, oh, okay, that's how it's all interconnected. But for someone who is listening and is like, what are these phases? What are we talking about? There are four phases to our menstrual cycle, and they are very different. They are dictated by the normal ebbs and flows in our hormones. So that's the menstrual phase, follicular, ovulatory, and luteal. And I can break those down and just kind of describe each of those if that would be helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
So menstrual cycle is your period. So this is usually the most obvious phase for people, mm-hmm. right? It's when you're bleeding. And this is cycle day one. So first day of your cycle is your period. And the lining of your uterus, it's called the endometrium, is actually shedding. So that is what causes you to bleed. Mm-hmm. So bleeding lasts, you know, 3 to 7 days, usually heaviest on those first 2 days, and should be that bright cranberry red color. And as we've talked about, maybe slight sensations in the abdomen, but no cramping that's keeping you, you know, home from school or work, or has you like popping pain meds or anything. So when your period ends, you then kind of flow into what's called the follicular phase. So this is usually 7 to 10 days, and it's when hormones start to rise and they're really preparing an egg for ovulation. Mm-hmm. All right. So the uterus starts to rebuild that endometrium, that lining again, where a egg would potentially be fertilized and implant and grow. So that's what's happening during the follicular phase. And then we have ovulation. So this is another one that people are usually familiar with, ovulation. The phase, I say, is like 2 to 4 days, but ovulation itself is really just 24 to 48 hour process. And this is when an egg is actually released from a follicle and it starts making its journey down the fallopian tube, where it could potentially be fertilized. Mm-hmm. So we know that not all cycles are 28 days, but if you use that proverbial, you know, 28 day cycle, then ovulation happens midway or like on day 14. So it's mm-hmm. typically about halfway through your cycle, but you could have a longer follicular phase and a shorter luteal phase, you know, or vice versa. So we can't just rely on, you know, these apps that we have that say, you're most fertile today, you're ovulating. Like, throw that in the trash. Don't listen to that, because no one can tell you when you're ovulating. You can't even tell yourself. It can only be confirmed after the fact. So then after ovulation, that's kind of like what we think of, like the big shebang, right? That egg's being released. Mm-hmm. And then the last, you know, 10 to 14 days of your cycle, or before your next period arrives, is your luteal phase. And the luteal phase is when your hormones are starting to decline. They're at their lowest, but they should still be balanced and acting in harmony. But when they're not, this is when we see things like PMS. We experience those kind of symptoms that wreak, you know, havoc on our lives. So, if pregnancy doesn't occur, which we know most often it doesn't occur, then, you know, the estrogen, progesterone, those high amounts that you're producing stop, they like drop off. And then this causes the endometrium, that lining, to shed off again. Mm-hmm. And you have your period. And then we just have this cycle over and over and over.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That was very clear and concise. That was actually nice for me. and I think that for someone who is trying to get pregnant, and again, is not aware of these phases, like the way you've described it, it really is kind of shooting in the dark if you are just having sex randomly. And, you know, months could go by pretty easily without being pregnant, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to women, they're like, I just can't get pregnant. And I'm like, all right, so when are you timing it? What does this look like? And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, that's the first step. Let's actually, you know, let's make sure that you're ovulating.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, there are a couple of different ways to know that you're ovulating. You can use your basal body temperature. Mm-hmm. So this would be like natural family planning, the fertility awareness method. Mm-hmm. And there is a rise in basal body temperature. So that's that temperature you take first thing in the morning before you even get out of bed. Okay. And after ovulation, we see a spike in that. There's also a spike in progesterone. And there's also, you know, you could have vaginal secretions, like really egg white fluid, really sticky. So it's everyone's body is different, which I think is really cool. I mean, we know that, like, you can look around, but even internally, everything is different. Mm-hmm. So, that's why I'm like, that app doesn't work, because that app doesn't know you, you know, like, it can't predict. And so sometimes people are even following the app, like, well, this is the day it says I'm most fertile. Mm-hmm. When really it could be, you know, 2 days after that, and you're just like trying over and over the wrong time. So it's typically, you know, ovulation, when that egg is released, is when you're most likely to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I like this. And then I'm thinking also on the opposite end. So when we're not trying to get pregnant, birth control options. So what is the harm, if any, in hormonal birth control? Because I feel like that was definitely the norm. I've never been on birth control, of any kind, but I feel like that was more the norm, and now we're all looking for those non-hormonal options. So what is the harm in the hormonal options?
Yeah. So before I even start talking about hormonal birth control, I do like to let the audience know that I am in no way anti-birth control, like at all. Because I mean, the women before us fought very, very hard for this greater autonomy over our female bodies. And this is something that we should be really proud of. And it's an option that we have. And I believe in options. I believe in choices. And most importantly, I believe in an informed consumer. Mm. And that's where I think most of the harm is done. I mean, we can talk about the birth control risk, right? Like, increase for depression and anxiety and weight gain and headaches and migraines and increased risk for cervical cancer, like all those kinds of things. But really what I think is the biggest problem is that women are going in here asking for something. What are my options? And they're not getting all the options laid out in front of them.
Yeah.
They don't know. And they're trusting their care provider to shoot them straight, right? To be like, these are your options and these are the pros and cons with each of them. And often we hear that birth control is used, you know, it used to be, it was created for preventing pregnancy. Mm. But now we see it so often used to regulate our cycles, yeah, or to balance our hormones. And that it's just, that's an inaccurate phrase. Mm-hmm. That is, like, to me, like the epitome of, you know, poorly informed society, because birth control does not balance our hormones. It doesn't regulate our hormones. It's really just this band-aid approach to hormonal issues. Yeah. So anyone who is listening, I know, Erica, you said you haven't been on birth control before. I have, and I felt like, looking back, it's like, wow, I really was uninformed. I had no idea. But for anyone that has taken it for, you know, maybe you've taken it for acne or heavier painful periods or PMS migraines or irregular cycles or anything not related to pregnancy, and then you try coming off of the pill, yeah, then you've experienced this band-aid approach. Because when you come off of it, it's not that all of these symptoms are just gone. Right? Like, they are still there and often much worse. Mm-hmm. So we're really just, it's this band-aid approach that I really don't appreciate, because it's not, you're selling something inaccurately,
yeah,
to women. And that's probably the biggest problem to me. And a lot of times women don't even know what is happening to their cycles, because, right, we don't even have that basic knowledge,
yeah,
that they're even fluctuating. We don't even know that. But when you think about, you know, we talked about those hormones fluctuating during each phase of our cycle, hormonal birth control flatlines your hormones. So you have, there's no ebbs and flows. I mean, it is just straight. It puts you in like a menopausal state. Mm-hmm. And we need these hormones to ovulate.
Right.
And we need to ovulate to have a true period. And so even just the bleeding that you have on hormonal birth control is not a period. Mm-hmm. It's a sugar pill withdrawal bleed. And for, mm-hmm, many people, they don't even know that part of it. Like, they still think, well, I'm having a period. And that's why it was even created in the way, you know, originally there was no cycles, and women were like, or there was no bleeding, and women were like, yeah, this isn't going to work. Like, this is freaking me out. So they added in the sugar pills so that women could feel like, oh, okay, there's this sense of normalcy.
Ooh.
And regulating.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It is fast. I mean, there could be, we could do a whole podcast on hormone birth control, but yeah. So they added that back in. So when people say, like, yeah, it makes my periods lighter and less painful, it's not a period. Mm-hmm. And, like, sometimes I feel, like, bad even saying that. I'm like, you know, it's a withdrawal bleed. Like, it's not a true period. You have to ovulate,
right,
to have that.
Wow.
So, yeah, doesn't balance your hormones, doesn't regulate your cycle, but instead it's just going to suppress ovulation, shut down your ovaries, switch off your hormones,
yeah,
and it doesn't get to the root cause of that hormonal issue. And, you know, I admitted that I took birth control and at that time was not a truly informed consumer. What I eventually learned through research was that the longer a hormonal problem exists, whether it's suppressed or not by, you know, birth control or whatever else, the more complicated it is to treat.
Yeah.
And so that's really hard when you see women who are reaching for anything because they are struggling. Mm-hmm. And then they're, you know, taking this for 10 years or longer and have no idea that it's actually doing more damage than good.
For sure.
So to me, that's the harm. That is the the big harm of birth control.
Yeah, I had no idea. And I love what you said about the ability to have birth control as an option is so important. And for me personally, I've never been on birth control because I didn't feel like I had enough information. And I am more of like a, I want to trust my intuition more. And if I have all of these questions, it more was just like, I'm scared of it all. I don't know what it's doing. So I'm just going to stay away. Now, again, I got lucky, but probably could have, should have been on some kind of birth control plan when I was having relationships, you know, before my husband. But again, just was nervous, just didn't know. And I think that is something that it's like we're either, and I'm thinking back again to like maybe high school. I mean, you could be given birth control, like you said, for acne, where to, you know, quote unquote, balance, regulate your hormones, which is, I guess, clearly just a marketing tagline that people have run with. But I mean, if that happens at like age 15, 16, then 10 years later, 25, 26, you know, maybe you start to, you know, have a relationship, you want to have children, that's 10 years right there, right? It's such a long time and it goes by so quickly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if someone has, let's say if someone is a little, not necessarily younger, but if they're at the point where they don't want to have children now or in the near future, what would you say are some good options for birth control? And I'm thinking, you know, outside of tracking your cycle, condoms, abstinence, are there any other good options?
Yeah, abstinence. I'm like, that, come on, let's just throw.
Okay, listen, we're gonna have sex.
So what are we gonna do?
Yeah.
So of course, hormonal birth control can be, we often think of the pill, but it can be the pill, the patch, the ring, the hormonal IUD. There is also just a little bit of basics for people who don't know what it does. So I've talked about the hormone suppressing aspect, but it also dries up your cervical mucus so that, you know, there's nothing to help that sperm get up there. Yeah. So, you know, dual role there. There is a, and I'm also not an expert on birth control. There is copper IUDs. So doesn't have hormones in it, but it is made of copper and it's basically there to causes the uterus to be a little bit angry, right? And not a hospitable place for an egg to implant.
Okay.
So that's an option. We talked about fertility awareness method, which would be a combination of checking your cervical fluids and using your temperature. Lisa Hendrickson-Jack, she does Fertility Friday. I don't know if you know her. She would be an awesome person to have on here, but she's like the fertility awareness guru. She knows all about it. And then of course, you know, there's male condoms, there's female condoms, there's pull and pray, the pull out method. Like there's all these different
pull and pray.
Yeah. That's what we call it around here. Just gotta make sure you pray hard.
Like I said, you're crossing the fingers.
Yeah. So there's lots of different options. And like I said, it's not that hormonal birth control may be the best option for you.
Right.
You know, it's just actually doing your research and really finding out the impacts of each one of these.
Yeah. And what do you think, if you are going into your primary care doctor, your gynecologist, or maybe your OB, and they're giving you birth control options, and you feel like, okay, none of these are quite right, do you see any benefit in them only giving you certain options and not all of them? What would be the I mean, I have my opinions, but what would be the benefit, you think, of a doctor only giving you certain options?
So for one, they do know your medical history.
Right.
And there are amazing doctors and not so amazing. There are amazing midwives and not so great, but I think it comes down to really trusting your care provider.
Yeah.
So as far as, what was your question? Like, why would they be offering up certain?
Yeah, I guess, well, and I'm thinking from experience, like so before my babies, the doctor that I had, I didn't, like you mentioned, I didn't really have a relationship with them. I just had to have a doctor, right? Like, I just had one. And when I asked about birth control, I think I got like two or three options of all hormonal birth control, just with just different brand names, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, why I didn't get on birth control, because I was like, these both or all three sound kind of icky. And I just didn't, I guess, do my own research. So I guess what I'm wondering is, if somebody goes and they feel like the options they've been presented aren't great or aren't for them, like, where should they find a new doctor? Should they do the research, present it to their doctor and say, what about these options? I'm just thinking more of like the awkwardness of, you know, you have like your intuition or your body telling you one thing, but you have your doctor saying another, and you're like, these just don't mesh for me. It just doesn't feel like the right thing for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, white coat syndrome is so real. Like, we have all this we're going to say, and then we get in there and we're just like, okay, they know best. And they are on a time crunch, you know, like, they don't have time to explain every single option in really great detail. So I think it's important to say, you know, I'm coming in to talk about birth control options, and I want to make sure there's enough time to really dive into the pros and cons of each.
Yeah.
And truthfully, I don't think that all care providers know about all the options.
That's a good point.
I mean, I think there's a big gap there, because we're not asking them, well, I want to try out fertility awareness method. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about that? They're like, oh, I don't know. Like, it's just not really effective. It's not, when like studies show it is, you know, it can be just as effective, you know, 98-99% effective.
Right.
And we often don't trust women, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you don't know enough about your body, you know, you're just gonna get pregnant, instead of, like, we're taking that power from them. And I say we, because we've all done that in some way. Mm-hmm. And it's just that guarantee, it's really easy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, here, just take this. Mm-hmm. Just take it. Like, it just simplifies it for both parties. Mm-hmm. But it's disempowering. And I don't think they realize that. I really don't think it's on purpose. I think care providers have the best intentions of saying, you know, this is the best option for you. And look, it's so easy. You don't have to worry about, you know, just take the pill, or like, we'll do an implant and you really don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't think they have the information, or they don't know, like, oh, well, there's a fertility awareness educator that we can refer you out to so that you can get more information. And so I think one of the best things is to, you know, learn, do your own research. And if you're brave and bold enough to ask those questions, you know, asking them why and the pros and cons, and tell them about the research that you found, if you really want to make like a bigger impact in our healthcare communities. But then finding someone who does have that knowledge, who can teach you about all the options. Medical professionals, or like a primary care provider, has to cover so many different areas of care, and it's a burden to put, you know, in one sense they should, but I can see how it's also this burden to expect them to know everything about all that. So that's why we have other people who are trained in these areas.
Yeah.
So what was your hunch of why?
Oh,
why or not?
Money.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that the drug reps, you know, told them, like, this is the birth control that we're pushing right now? And they said, great, looks fine.
Yeah.
But again, yeah. I mean, I say that having been to my first couple, like primary care and my, you know, gynecologist, and feeling like I was just kind of being brought in and then pushed right back out the door. Totally different experience. Like with my second baby, I had a midwife. She was amazing. I actually, when I went to visit with her, felt like, how do I get out of here? This woman won't stop talking to me and like telling me about my pregnancy. I was like, this is just so much information, right? And it's amazing. But I was like, does she have nothing else to do? She really is just, she would like sit down and get cozy. Like we were hanging out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Amazing. I love that.
Right. And I felt so, with you said the white coat syndrome, like I felt my walls come down to be able to ask her those questions I've frankly always had. Mm-hmm. Even the things like you talked about, like the pullout method, like I always really wanted to ask. I mean, even now, married, you know, stable relationship, we have kids. I'm like, I really want to know, like, is that a reasonable thing to do or not? But I feel like I can't go ask a doctor that I don't know personally. They'll be like, no.
No, you will get pregnant. Right. No. Being, it's all about knowing your cycle and combining,
right.
You know, combining a few methods. But if it's done effectively, then it works. But the problem is it's not always done effectively, right? You're in the moment and then you're like, yeah, no, like pull out now. And they're like, what? Like, but right now? And before you ejaculate. Yeah. So I think, you know, that's where it's tricky, especially like I think it can be a, you know, wonderful method for long-term relationships. Maybe even more mature relationships than like, I don't necessarily think, oh, that's a great method we should be teaching
right.
High school and college.
That's
age,
what,
like yeah, we, raging hormone kids.
Right. But. You're like telling them to just immediately halt sex immediately, yeah. Like right when it feels the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like here's how you know you have to halt. When you feel like you just can't stop, that's when you stop.
That's when you stop. Yeah. I mean, it's just,
yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's, I think what I've thought is like, okay, that would be the method when people say like, we're not trying to get pregnant, but we're not actively trying. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, if it happens, it's fine, but.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like the idea of combining and I think that's what I decided after I said, like, I don't have enough information to be on birth control, I didn't feel. So I was like, okay, if I have this basic understanding of these phases, which I had a very basic understanding, and then condoms with that, I was like, okay, I feel safe. I'm like, what's 99% plus 97%, like averaging? What are my chances?
Yeah, yeah. We're good, right?
Yeah. So I want to go back to your cycle. When you have the four phases and you were mentioning like a little bit about how you can feel differently or expect different things from your body, from your mind during these phases, could you give us like just a quick maybe examples of like the way that you can structure your life really around your cycle? Because you know, talked about how having a daily routine makes no sense as a woman. So tell us a little about that and then how we should be structuring.
Yeah. I think I said something like, daily routines aren't shit.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
What? Tell me more. Yeah. And I say that because we have this belief that the secret to our success is found in that daily routine. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all be guilty of that. You know, we're like, okay, well, starting next week, I'm gonna eat this way. I'm gonna work out at this time. Yeah. And I totally joke on myself about how, you know, I used to think that like the lives of others could be converted into a cheat sheet. Like I could just, you know, you see all those, the daily routine of, you know, Erica, the
it's
daily
like five steps to success.
Yes.
Just see what I do.
And I
just warm water and meditation.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. And I literally remember seeing an article. It was how to plan your day like Michelle Obama.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I mean Michelle Obama. And now I'm like, I mean, we hear how ridiculous that sounds, right? It's freaking yeah. Michelle Obama. Like, well, you know, it started with 4:30 a.m. workout. You know, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna do this. Like, so wrong. Bad idea.
You're like, I don't actually need her arms that badly.
Yeah.
If those are 4:30 arms, I'm not interested.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. So yeah, I mean, I was right there. I used to think that if I could implement the same routine every single day, that I would be more productive, that I'd be happier, that I'd be more successful. And it took me doing that to realize that we all expect to show up the same day in and day out. But when we take into account those fluctuations in our hormones, those natural ebbs and flows during the four phases of our cycle, then we're just going to be disappointing ourselves if every week we expect to always be on point and be creative and, you know, be able to run those 3 miles and get up early and have that same amount of energy. And when we don't have our expected output every single day, we get disappointed in ourselves, right? That's when we're like, oh, I mean, I didn't go work out this week, so I'm just so tired, and now I'm feeling this. And we like get into this spiral that can be really, really unhealthy. Mm-hmm. And so just like the earth, we have that 24-hour clock. I mean, I'm like obsessed with nature, so it makes the easiest sense to me. So just how it, you know, it spins around and we have night and day or that 24-hour clock, we also have four seasons. So the earth, you know, is tilted and makes its long journey around the sun, and we have winter, spring, summer, and fall. Mm-hmm. And we're the same way. So we have a 24-hour clock that is in charge of our sleep and wake cycles, but we also have the four seasons or a menstrual cycle that controls everything else. Mm-hmm. And so it's really about, you know, tuning into those phases instead of into, you know, some daily routine. And yeah, we have this is unique to women, right? Like we have this rad opportunity because we are menstruating people, because we are women. And so if we feel that the week before our period, we have less energy and we want to stay at home more and not socialize, then we need to honor that hormonal shift. Or likewise, if we have that, you know, amped up energy midway through the cycle and we're feeling more flirty and social, like let's just lean into that a little bit more. So depending on where we are can dictate, you know, what are the best foods to eat for our micronutrient needs? What are the best ways to move our bodies? What are the, you know, when are we most creative? When are we going to be able to wrap up projects? When do we need to be analyzing what is going on in our lives and our businesses and our relationships? And it takes a little bit of time. And for some people, it may sound a little crazy. Like, what do you mean you're going to align your entire life with your menstrual cycle? But it's like, once you start, it's literally second nature, because right. It's all a part of us. I think that it, and this is gaining a little bit more traction. I don't know if you had heard of this mm-hmm. before, but you know, aligning our menstrual cycles to our task is getting a little bit more popular. And I'm not sure if you've heard, but one of my favorite examples of how powerful our cycles can be was when the U.S. women's soccer team started tracking their menstrual cycle phases for peak performance.
Yeah.
And so depending on where they were in their menstrual cycle, actually determined what they ate, how they trained, how they practiced. I mean, it's science, right? Right. And I just love that. For anyone who doesn't know, the U.S. women's soccer team won the World Cup. Like, they used this aligning and cycle syncing to their advantage. So like, this is how powerful it can be when we know how to use it.
Yeah, I love that. I think of that for business, like especially if you have your own business and you're kind of wearing all the hats, like you have the times when you have to be in conversation with people or showing up to speak. And then you have the times when you're going to reformat your website. And that's the more back end cozy up on your couch situation, right? And like you're saying, it feels complicated at first. But when you start realizing and tracking and knowing what your cycle looks like, then planning it on your calendar sort of just starts to flow.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. Allie B. Cranmer, she is a biz and body integrator. She has a whole course on how to align your menstrual cycle with your business. And of course, she has an Instagram and pumps out tons of amazing information, but she's been a real source of knowledge for me. And, you know, she teaching me about business in her menstrual cycles, and I teaching her about, you know, the PMS and period pain, which is more of my specialty area. So, it really is fascinating. And I've started to do that even more, align my business, because I was already doing like my food and exercise and, you know, socializing. And it really has made a big difference, because you can actually feel, I mean, or you actually are, not just feel, more productive.
Right.
And you have more energy and there's less stress because you're working with your body. Yeah. So when you're feeling most creative, you're creating all that content, mm-hmm. you know, and when you feel like not getting on here and doing a podcast or whatever, you're evaluating your business and figuring out like what's working, what's not, or you're doing the money, or, you know, all those different pieces. And yeah, it's been a huge mind shift and lifestyle shift for me that is invaluable. I mean, it's been such a huge part, because the biggest thing that I learned is that we are doing ourselves a disservice if we place those 24-hour cycle expectations on our seasonally cycled bodies.
Yeah.
It's just not fair to ourselves. And that's when we're like, well, I'm just like lazy and I can't get stuff done, when it's just not true.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like, if you are not paying attention to this, then you could end up, right, your entire like life could end up being a mix between, I feel lazy when I should be working, or I feel antsy when I'm resting. Mm-hmm. When if you're just flipping those, like you said, you're working with your body, you're basically giving it all of the stimulation, creativity that it wants when it wants it, and letting off when it wants it too.
Yeah. And sometimes it just starts with tracking your cycle. It doesn't have to be anything complicated, but just like you were saying, this is when I start, and starting to recognize if you see any patterns. I mean, the examples I gave are just the typical what to expect. You're going to have, you know, lower energy on your period, and then it's going to rise and peak at ovulation, fall in the luteal phase, and start all over again. And that's why I like to equate the seasons of the menstrual cycle to the phases, because mm-hmm. I think it helps things click a little bit better. But with that, if you just start tracking, even just really lightly, like how you're feeling, you can get a better idea of if that anxiety is cyclical, right? Mm-hmm. Or if that super creative time is always around ovulation.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that a lot. And I think that'll be my next like step to tune into, mm-hmm. get a little more focused on that. So, okay, the women that you work with, I want to know, for anybody listening, what are some things that are most common when women come to work with you, whether it's that, you know, PMS, period pain, whatever it is. If someone's listening right now, what are some things that you know you could help them with?
Yeah. So the first thing, people are often like shook by, wait, what? Period pain and PMS isn't normal. And so then they are stoked because they want to learn more. They're like, well, what do I do about this? And what do these symptoms mean? The women I help have PMS and period pain, and my program, Rhythm and Root, I help women get rid of PMS and period pain in 90 days. Mm. And it's all a holistic approach. So a lot of what we've talked about here today, but so much more. I go through what I call the body basics, where we're checking on, you know, what does your stress look like? Mm-hmm. Blood sugar, you know, yeah, what is your diet? What are you eating? How are you going throughout your day? And then we tap into how to align your life with your menstrual cycle and really get rid of PMS and period pain. I have a background as an herbalist, so I bring in like herbal knowledge and supplements. I mean, it's a whole deal, but yeah. So anyone that has painful periods, if you have irregular cycles, if you have heavy periods, or, you know, light brown spotting kind of thing where you're like, is this a period? Is it not a period? And then all of those PMS things. So anxiety, fatigue, bloating, hormonal acne, all of that is included. And what is so crazy is that we see all of those as these separate symptoms when really they're often a collection. They all go together. That's what I'm trying to say. And so we're treating them in a holistic manner. It's not like we have to pick out one and we're doing something for that one and then that one. So.
Yeah, I love that. I love the 90 days too. I think there's a lot of programs, especially around health, and it'll be like, say, 7-day detox or something, right? And I'm like, I just can't imagine that your body could go through this entire process in 1 week and it be sustainable. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
So I feel like 90 days is something that just feels very real and lasting.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, so the program actually starts with what I call a 10-day hormone reset. Mm-hmm. So it's a food-based cleanse, but it also includes, you know, detoxing your environment, if you will, everything from like unfollowing people on Instagram that you shouldn't be following, or what's in your bathroom or your cleaning products. And then a big piece for me as well is bringing in nature. Like, I have people in my program, got to be in nature at least 1 hour every single day. Yeah. For some people, that's like, what?
They're like, you.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's huge. I mean, it's such a big part. So we start there, but the thing is, it's like you do that reset just to get you jump started, to get going, to give your hormones that reset they need. But then it's a lifestyle change. It's a lifestyle shift.
Right.
And even, you know, I'm talking about what, you know, how are you going to navigate that, that coworker party you have to go to or the family event. It's not just, we don't live in this bubble. You live an authentic life and we need to celebrate that and find out how to make it work for yourself, for your hormones so that you can continue on here. So,
yeah. And then I think the length of it too, it feels more empowering because, right, it's that like long runway. There are the steps and you're getting to that place again where it's not just like a quick one and done and then like, okay, good luck. And like you said, trying to fit it into all other facets of life and all the things that'll come up. So
yeah,
love it. And we'll definitely put links to connect with you in the show notes and description and everything as well.
Great.
But thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you, Erica. I really appreciate it.